Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the final hour of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Tiki Barber, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Get us on social media at Tiki and Tierney, or you can call us 855-212-4227. Man, it has been a heck of a show. Really, really, really interesting show. One, because of the guests that we had. Danny Cannell was just on talking about the start of the NFL season, which he pegged at about 75% going off without a hitch. He previously would have thought it was up in the 90s. I kind of agree. But then the college season we hit at the end of the interview. I mean, this thing is changing each and every minute. It seems like, and we kind of brought this news at the beginning of the show, the Big Ten is only going to play an in-conference schedule. The Pac-12 looks like it is going to follow suit and also only play an in-conference schedule. This is what multiple insiders are telling The Athletic. We'll see if that comes to fruition. We know that the ACC has postponed all fall sports, football not included, until after September 1st. But we'll get some more clarity on that as the days come and go. It just feels like we're hoping for solution for our sports world, and it's just not happening. Every day it seems to go down a farther route towards not existing. Kind of like the show. Today it almost didn't happen because my power went out. And I take a second and give kudos to people here. So first of all, my power goes out. D-Cell immediately picks up and drops an interview in that we'd already packaged. And I was able to get back on for a little bit, but ultimately it went out again. So I call up my neighbor, Nicole, who has a generator. I run up the street just trying to set up, where's your internet connection? I need an Ethernet cord with two jacks so that I can hook it to my phone. I mean, to my computer so that I can broadcast to television, but I also have to hook into the Comrex so I can broadcast the radio. Luckily, she had one in a place that allowed me to sit and continue to do this show. I sat down and I was like, wait, it's too dark to sit right here. So I called up my wife. I'm like, you got to bring me a light. So she brought me a light up, and now I'm sitting in the living room feeling comfortable. But Tom DeCelestino, back in the studio, has done an amazing job. I just want to thank you at the top of the hour, Tom, because, I mean, this show was done if you hadn't hustled the way that you did. But as a team, we got this thing all done. And thank you, Mike Samter, for coordinating. I mean, you're at home, so you're not really doing anything like D-Cell is. But I'll give you kudos as well. As a team, we made this thing work, and we continue the show into our last hour here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. And thank you, Network, for sticking with me changing locations like three times in the last hour. Okay. The National Football League. Lift every voice and sing. Some of you know this song. A lot of you do not sing this song. Know this song. I remember my mom playing this when I was young, sitting in the living room. The words are just—they're meaningful. They move you. It's uplifting. This is a Black national anthem. We all know it. Originally a poem by James Johnson, it was set to music by his Harlem Renaissance composer brother John in the early 20th century. It is, and I quote this, a prayer of thanksgiving for faithfulness and freedom. And I love it, man. I love this song. It just, you feel good when you hear this music, when you hear this, the words and the meaning to those words. As blacks in the late 19th century, early 20th century, were emancipated, they were hoping for a better time. And we all know that it didn't happen. Jim Crow laws came into effect, and the world got harsh for blacks for a century. And it's still, in a way, that way. But the NFL, on the request of some of its players, started taking issue with their lack of judgment on how to judge history. And this is where I get on the NFL. Now, they've said that they're going to play Lift Every Voice and Sing before every game in week one this upcoming season. So that's the Thursday night game, which I think is the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. And then they're going to play it for all of the other games throughout that first week. And it'll be cool. It'll be cool to hear this. But and it piggybacks right in line with what Roger Goodell said about a month ago when he sat in front of a camera in his basement and said, "Black lives matter. And we apologize for being wrong." Essentially, I paraphrase now, on the wrong side of history as it pertained to Colin Kaepernick's peaceful protest. Our First Amendment right is to protest and air our grievances to our government. The NFL, in a lot of ways, ostracized a player who was doing that. And they knew that they were wrong then, and they know that they're wrong now. And so to compensate for that, they're creating a fund, $250 million over 10 years, to help fight systematic racism. And it's phenomenal. I think it's a great initiative. But it's not enough. Nor is playing Lift Every Voice and Sing at the beginning of some games this season. It'll sound good. Music has a way to emotionally lift you. It's been that way since music was created. You put melody and words together and it relates to you and you feel good about it. And I think people will feel good about this, but this is not enough. The NFL has a lot of work to do. They've said the right things. They have. Roger Goodell said the right thing. Now, it took the urging of his players in order to do so, but they finally got on the right side of this thing. But it's not enough. And playing a song at the beginning of a game is also not enough. This $250 million to end systematic racism, I know what it means. It'll go to some programs that educate. It'll go to maybe some lobbying groups that'll look to change how police officers who commit brutal crimes like this are adjudicated. Those situations are adjudicated. But what it should go to is making a difference in their sport, in the National Football League. We were looking a little bit earlier around the Rooney Rule problem. And we know what that normally pertains to. It's black head coaches in the National Football League. And we know it hasn't been ideal. There have been 20 or so new hirings in the last 3 years, and two or three of them have gone to black head coaches. But more importantly, what about the front office? You know, right now there are two black general managers in the National Football League. Only two black general managers in the National Football League. And that is an egregiously low number. But even I can understand the general manager number being low, because that's a position that takes some growth. It takes being in the right position, place at the right time. It takes some relationship building. And it's a position that is earned, right? You have to earn a general manager position. You're not just going to be handed. It's not being handed to you unless you're just a savant that people fall in love with and believe that you can do the job. I mean, John Lynch is actually kind of one of those guys. But it's usually not handed to you. You have to earn it. Work your way up to the top. But right now, there are only two black general managers, and I understand that. But what's the pipeline like? Well, I asked Samter to go get me a list, because there has to be more than two black assistant general managers in the National Football League, a league that has 70% African-American players and obviously a sport and an industry that champions the black athlete. Even Roger Goodell said this: without the black athlete, the National Football League is not what it is. It's not what it is. So there has to be more assistant general managers that are African-American than general managers that are African-American. You know how many assistant general managers are in the National Football League that are black? One. One. And guess who his general manager is? It's one of the two black general managers in the National Football League, the Miami Dolphins. Chris Greer is their general manager, and Marvin Allen is their assistant general manager. Not another team in the NFL has a black GM. There are some players or some former players and others that are in executive positions. For instance, Ray Agnew, who was a teammate of mine for a couple of years and obviously with St. Louis when he was with St. Louis, now with the L.A. Rams. He's the director of pro personnel. Shelton Quarles is the director of football ops for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was there for a long time. Will McClay, VP of player personnel with the Cowboys. So there are some minorities in other positions. But in order to get a GM position, you have to train to be a GM. And usually you got to do that under a general manager. And that's the assistant general manager. So I hear what the National Football League is trying to do. I literally hear it. I heard it as D-Cell played Lift Every Voice and Sing as we were coming in. And it makes a lot of sense. It really does. Because you're trying to show that you're different. But if you really want to be different and make a difference, you put African Americans, black and minorities, and brown peoples who love the sport and who have been trying for years to advance in the sport in a position to advance. I'm not saying give them general manager job, because that wouldn't work. They would ultimately fail. But put them in a position to earn the right to be general managers. That's the only way that this changed. Not dissimilar to how we talk about the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule, why is there no black head coaches? Why aren't there quality black head coaching candidates? It's because a lot of them aren't in position to train to be black head coaching candidates or minority head coaching candidates. They're the wide receiver coach or they're the DB coach. Maybe they make it to the, the linebacker or defensive coordinator position. But the NFL is an offensive run league. The only way you're going to get the attention of other head coaches or owners or general managers is if you're doing something flashy with the quarterback or with the play calling or whatever it may be. I mean, the path to get there is easy. Saying it is easy. To get there is really hard. And the only way that the NFL can truly make a difference is not by playing songs. It's not by talking about wanting to be different. It's doing. It's taking that $250 million and giving it to black causes that are important to its players. But it's also taking some sum of money and training blacks who desire to be in these roles to be ready to take those opportunities in those roles when they come available. It's also, and this is something we've talked about a couple of times, we don't really have a way to say it. It's asking or telling or encouraging head coaches or owners in the National Football League to tell us where you stand in this Black Lives Matter moment. Jerry Jones hasn't said anything. I don't think many of the owners have said anything in the National Football League. A lot of basketball owners have said something. I mean, 80 to 90% of their players are black. They know how important it is. And they probably have closer relationships with a lot of their African-American black players, brown players. But NBA owners can do this. Why aren't NFL owners doing this? Maybe there's a mandate that says Roger Goodell's voice is going to speak for all of us. But that doesn't help in your community. Helping in your community is doing it yourself. It's not standing behind a $250 million donation to causes that are important to black people. It's getting out there yourself. Money matters. Actions matter so much more. So show us, National Football League. Show us how you're going to make a difference for minorities in your sport. There's a lot of them around it. Roger Goodell said it. The NFL is not where it is without its black players. We know this. How about you give us some positions or put us in position to have positions in those front offices? Two black general managers, one black assistant general manager. That is not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. Lift every voice and sing. I love that, man. I really do. National Football League, it's not enough. CBS just signed a major deal to air Champions League soccer. And coming up next, we're going to have CBS Sports HQ soccer analyst Thomas Ronjan, who's going to discuss the growth of soccer, but also how important international soccer in the Champions League and the lower tiers are to the United States and their sports realm. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Excited to have our next guest on us. First time on the show. Get to talk some European soccer, some Champions League with Thomas Rongen, CBS Sports HQ lead soccer analyst. TR, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thanks, Tiki. I'm doing fine. I hope you're the same way under some weird circumstances.
Yeah, no, it's been very, very odd. But you know what? I've really gotten into international soccer. I mean, I was kind of always a Liverpool fan because my brother was a Man U fan. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who he played for, owns Man U. So he said, pick a team. So I picked Liverpool. And then they happened to win the Champions League last year, which leads perfectly into the conversation that we're going to have right now. CBS signs this. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. And it's a couple years early because I think Turner backed out of her TBS, one of those backed out of it. Yeah. And it's great, I think. Tell us why. I mean, this is a big opportunity, I think, for CBS, which is obviously our one of our networks here. But it's also a great way for the international soccer and the Champions League in particular, the excitement around that, all three tiers of it, to showcase itself in the United States.
Absolutely. We're going to witness the cathedral of the masses, so to speak. The UEFA Champions League is the hottest commodity in the world. It's March Madness on steroids. The best clubs in the world, the greatest players in the world. Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe, Neymar, Kevin De Bruyne of Manchester City, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Juventus, the top tier of international football all together in one championship, and pretty much still with a few games to be played. But the draw is tomorrow, as we all know.
Yep.
And we'll be broadcasting that live, obviously, from our headquarters in Fort Lauderdale HQ. And I'm so pleased to be part of this, actually, on the ground floor, to bring a tournament to the people in the United States that is creative, vivid colors. You'll remember some of those players and clubs for a lifetime.
Yeah, no, and I think the reason you get into any sport is that you see some player doing something spectacular, and you're like, man, you just can't take your eyes off of him. And it's one thing to get into like the country leagues, like the EPL or Bundesliga or Serie A or whatever it may be, but you kind of got to know the teams, right? This is different because it's so player driven. It is a knockout tournament, as you were just saying. How can this help Americans better embrace European soccer? Because I do think it is a great product, and as soon as you appreciate it, you enjoy it. You really enjoy it.
Absolutely, because every team has its history, its story. Some of them are 100 years old. Some were. From day one, the rivalries that we've seen across countries, but also across the world, the fan power, unfortunately missing, obviously, during this time, the exceptional players that play for those big clubs, two of the best in the world, maybe two of the best all time when it's all said and done, in Messi for Barcelona and now Ronaldo at Juventus, the star-studded Real Madrid has won more championships, international championships, than any other team in the world. And if people enjoy the game of soccer and want to see the best of the best, this is by far the tournament that you should tune into because it's absolutely different. It's different now. The format is everybody plays in one place, in Portugal, in Lisbon, no home and away, pretty much knockout stages. Anything goes, you know, which is a one-off game. There's underdogs there in Atalanta from Serie A. You got RB Leipzig from Germany that sneak into that round of eight that have qualified already. You got the big dogs that are still there in Manchester City and Real Madrid that still have to play a second return leg because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But when it's all said and done, we're going to see eight teams in Lisbon in early August on CBS All Access. that is mouthwatering.
Yeah, no, I bet it is. I know you guys are excited about this for sure. Thomas Rongen, TR from CBS Sports HQ, lead soccer analyst. You know, soccer started, or European soccer started a couple of months ago. They really haven't had any issues with the coronavirus. Why is that? It feels like our American sports are at fits and starts trying to get back up and running. What are they doing right over there?
Let's take Germany as an example. The Bundesliga was the first country to return, and they were very vigilant from day one. Obviously, Europe was affected earlier than the United States, mm-hmm. so we are behind in terms of weeks or even months, I think, yeah. in terms of the peak of the virus, et cetera, et cetera. But they haven't seen a lot of new spikes. Portugal, where this tournament will be played, is also in a very good situation right now, contrary to maybe the bubbles that we see erected now in Orlando with the MLS and NBA. MLS has two teams in the last 3 days had to drop out because yeah. of 9 to 10 players on the teams were infected with the virus. So it's better in Europe right now for some of the reasons I mentioned. Smaller countries, easier to control as well. You get this huge mass of different countries within one United States, so to speak. States govern differently. And that's one of the strengths of the European smaller countries like Portugal, like the Netherlands, like Germany, like Spain that was hit very hard, or even Italy that was hit hardest and the epicenter for a while. They've dealt with it incredibly well, from social distancing to wearing their mouth protection, yeah. et cetera, et cetera. But we still don't see any fans at any of the games at this particular time.
Yeah, and you kind of don't miss it. I mean, they do a really good job of panning away from it and sometimes pumping in a little bit of crowd noise. And, you know, I was watching about a week and a half ago when Chelsea bested Man City, which gave Liverpool mm-hmm. the EPL title. And it brings me to the American that we all talk about, Christian Pulisic. You know, how yeah. good is he going to be? I know every game that they've won, he scores. Every game he scores, they win. Right. But he's somebody that we as Americans can champion. And I think that is a great bridge. He hasn't started to get the commercials and the commercial, you know, hype in the United States yet, but I think he should.
What a great story. Leaves the United States with his parents because you're not allowed to travel to Europe and play and sign a contract with the team until you're 18. So your parents have to move with you, both wow. teachers, wow. both former collegiate players, gets to Borussia Dortmund in Germany, takes 2 or 3 years to really develop, hits the ground running at age 18, 100-plus Bundesliga games, has scored in the Champions League already, gets sold for $85 million to Chelsea at the start of the season. And in the restart of the EPL, he's been the man of the match in 6 consecutive games. Wow. The impact the 21-year-old American is making in the EPL. Even if you had asked me that 10 years ago, I would have laughed at you. And that's a possibility right now. There's yeah. a star right now that's playing, by the way, against Bayern Munich in a few weeks. What an awesome way. We have an American at RB Leipzig as well that features and starts for that team. So we see Americans now featuring with big clubs in the UEFA Champions League. That's pretty awesome. Actually, to see that and see the evolution of younger American players going to Europe earlier now yeah. and honing their skills.
Yeah, Thomas Rongen is here with us on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports HQ lead soccer analyst. Why has it taken American soccer players so long? You know, and we love the sport here. I mean, I played it even when I was a little kid. Maybe that's the answer because I diverted away from it. It wasn't like the national sport in a sense. But still, I mean, everybody plays it. It is an enjoyable sport. Why is it taking so long to grab in the United States? Is maybe too many other options? I mean, what is it about soccer?
Very interesting. I came here in 1979 in the old NASL days where mm-hmm. I played professionally, played in New York against the Cosmos in front of 70,000 people
yeah, yeah.
when Pele was there and all the stars came to the United States to play here. And everybody said, we're 10 years away of hitting big time. Well, 10 years later, the NASL folded when Warner Bros. Communications said, hey, this game is not made for TV. They bailed and pretty much the league crumbled. Here's MLS, healthy now, 25 years plus in, 26 teams as well, teams waiting in line to get another expansion team. The brand is getting bigger.
Yep.
The numbers are growing. It's always been big on the youth level, but it's been better now on the high school level. And I think that we're slowly, and because of the CBSs of the world, maybe introducing people for the first time to soccer, international soccer, that might say, you know what, I'm going to support my local team, which we've seen. We've seen great crowds in Atlanta, 50,000 plus.
That's average, right.
Seattle, LAFC, Inter Miami right now with David Beckham, star power as well, and ownership and on the field. And it's a great product, I think, in MLS right now that people are tuning into. We at CBS also bought the rights to the NWSL, the Women's League. The women do so well in the World Cup, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see that people have now shown vested interest, and that a lot of their children have forced their parents pretty much to come and take me to a game, so to speak, because I love playing the sport, mom and dad.
Yeah, no, and it's playable. You can play it with your kids. You don't have to be great to go out and play it with your kids. You know, TR, you said that the draw is coming up soon. We know that CBS Sports HQ and CBS All Access are going to show a lot of this. As we start to look, what should we be looking for? Because it's going to be in front of us now. What should we be looking for? We know Liverpool won the Champions League last year, and I must add, the two lower levels of the Champions tournaments are also a part of this deal as well. Most people probably won't follow those, but they are there as well, which is a great opportunity, I think, to expand the soccer sphere, so to speak. But for the upper level, the Champions League, who are we looking for as a team that could excel? Could it be Man City?
I think Man City's in the driver's seat. They are 2-1 against Real Madrid, beating them, by the way, in Madrid. And the return leg today just came out that all the teams that are left here, that have to play a second leg, so to speak, can play it at their home stadium. So Manchester City will play Real Madrid up 2-1 already. I expect City to go 3. And I'm telling you, Pep Guardiola, who hasn't won a Champions League since he left in 2015 with Barcelona, where he won it the last time, tried it with Bayern, didn't succeed. His third year at Manchester City, Liverpool just pretty much cleaned their clock, so to speak, in this year, and are now the EPL champs. But I expect them to go far. Aguero, Kevin De Bruyne, the Belgian international.
Yeah, they remember him from the World Cup. Yeah.
And then PSG is a great team. You have Neymar, the Brazilian international. You've got Mbappe, the 21-year-old wunderkind that has won a World Cup already with France and now makes his trade for Paris Saint-Germain. It can never rule out teams where the biggest two stars are playing. Juventus from Italy with obviously Mr. Ronaldo, who's the Champions League leading goal scorer and maybe the best player on the planet and maybe even ever when he retires, is Messi with Barcelona. Those are the great stories to follow right now, I think.
Yeah.
And then there are the nice success stories. I said again, Leipzig with an American in the lineup, Chelsea that still has a chance maybe to beat Bayern, to get to the Elite Eight, so to speak. And then your sleepers, Atletico Madrid. They like to win 1-0. Ugly. You know what? In one-off games, Tiki, anything is possible.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a straight knockout phase. So a lot to play for. The big names are all there, with the exception of Liverpool. They got beaten, by the way, by Atletico Madrid, which is a huge upset. So the reigning champions aren't in, but all the other powerhouses are right there. With Bayern Munich, in my opinion, being maybe the number one choice, if I had to put some money on somebody to win it.
All right, you heard it here first. You can get it from you. But look, Liverpool's got to focus on one thing at a time. They won the Champions last year. They had to dominate the EPL this year. They'll be back eventually. TR, this was enjoyable, man. I really enjoyed it. I look forward to getting to know all of those names that you were just rattling off. And I hope this endeavor is as successful as I believe it's going to be, and all you guys as well. We will be watching. Appreciate you, Thomas.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for jumping on. Thomas Rongen, CBS Sports HQ lead soccer analyst. CBS has the rights now for the UEFA Champions League and the lower two tiers of the Champions League on CBS HQ, CBS All Access, which will be fun if you like soccer. D-Cell was just saying, he doesn't even watch soccer. He's like, that interview was so good with TR that I'm going to have to start watching soccer. I'm glad that we did that. All right, a former Pro Bowler is rehabbing a really, really bad knee injury. Can he still help a contender? The Blast is next. But first, let's get an update from Richard Ackerman. Rich, take it away. Final segment here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I'm Tiki Barber. Had a very interesting but really great show. Samter, you've been awesome. D-Cell, you've been great as well. Our guest, Buddy Tevens from Dartmouth, head coach, to talk about the Ivy League's decision. We'll get him back on because that interview got disrupted by some power outages in my area. He had Danny Cannell. And then TJ, or TR, I should say, Thomas Rongen from CBS Sports HQ, who's talking soccer. That was a really enjoyable show we've had today. Good job, boys, on the other side. I usually say the glass, but you guys are on the other side of the state right now. But the blast, we have the blast coming up. Some interesting topics in the blast, some things we need to get to in detail, including a running back who got beat up and missed a season and looking to come back. DCL, you ready to read for me?
Let's do it, Tig.
Yep, let's hit it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
The Blast, like all of our other sponsored segments, including Inbounds and Out of Bounds, are sponsored by the new TracFone Wireless. New unlimited talk and text smartphone plans starting at just $20 per month and no contract. Let's go, D-Cell.
All right, here we go, Teek. Some NFL to start. Lamar Miller posted a workout video on social media showing his progress post-ACL tear. Can Miller still be a productive back?
Oh, this is a loaded question. We saw what happened with those the running backs that miss seasons. Le'Veon Bell was one last year. He was good, but he was not nearly the same player. Now, that could be other circumstances like the old line. Lamar Miller had a really bad ACL tear. In fact, he missed the entirety of the 2019 season because of that injury. He looks healthy, and that's one thing, but he is 29 years old. Now, that's not necessarily old for a running back, but it does mean that you're past your prime and you're likely going to only be in a situational player. Can he still be effective? Yeah, productive, if you're saying over 500 or 600 yards, I'm not so sure. A situational back, yeah. He had those couple thousand yard seasons, one with Miami and one with Houston. And it got close his last season before he got hurt. But I'm going to say effective, but not overly productive. I like the kid, though.
All right, so you got a very somber note. A second construction worker has sadly passed away while working on SoFi Stadium in L.A. The first worker fell from a great height while he was while this second worker was an unknown health issue. Thus far, 25 workers have tested positive for the coronavirus. Does work need to be halted on SoFi Stadium?
I mean, I would say yes, simply because of the coronavirus cases. I mean, I assume that working in a construction, I've never done it, so I don't know. I don't have any experience here. But I feel that it's very collegial, meaning guys are always around each other. You're not, it's so intense that you're not thinking about it. And you interact with guys, you maybe have a beer with a guy or lunch with him or whatever it may be, and you're inadvertently passing the coronavirus along to each other. I mean, I remember that when the first positive test came down, it was like, okay, that's one thing. But then it became like 3 and 4 and 5 and then 10, and then now you're up to 25. I think that in and of itself should shut it down. But we know how the NFL operates. There's a deadline, and they're pushing the construction to get this stadium finished in Los Angeles. And so I would say yes, but we know that that's not going to happen. On a more important note, our condolences are with the family of both of these lost workers. One was obviously earlier, and one is more recently. But it's always sad when anyone affiliated with an NFL project passes away. So our hearts and thoughts go out to the family.
All right, Teek, some NBA here. Kawhi Leonard did not travel with the Clippers to Disney World. He's expected to arrive in the coming days. Should Kawhi have traveled with the team?
No, I don't think he should have. And it's okay for Kawhi because when he comes by himself, I don't think that he's going to be traveling commercially. You know, it was interesting. I was listening earlier. I forgot who it was. Maybe it was the Ringer podcast. They were talking about all of the Brooklyn Nets. Like, a lot of the Brooklyn Nets have tested positive for the coronavirus. And even a buddy of mine, former UVA standout Joe Harris, who was on the Nets, he tested positive. But this was a few weeks ago. He was there early because he'd gotten hurt, and so he was continuing his rehab and realized that he was feeling sick and tested positive. So something's going on over at the Nets facility where a lot of these guys are starting to lash out about having to go back there. In fact, they don't know whether it was once they got to the Nets or was it the fact that they traveled commercially. How does this apply to Kawhi Leonard? Kawhi Leonard's likely going to go on a private plane by himself down to Orlando, so he should be okay entering the bubble independently, but it's still something you got to be wary of. When you've already had all these tests done and guys are going rogue is the wrong word, but I can't think of a less malicious way to say it. When you're roguely entering the bubble, you got to be careful. So there's probably an exception, but only because Kawhi is not going to have to take a commercial flight down there.
All right, Teague. Dodgers outfielder Max Muncy says that he was hit by a pitch because of the stadium's new center field batter's eye backdrop, and it's distracting to the eye.
You know, it was one of those things where I couldn't really see the ball, trying to adjust to some of the changes that we've got out there, and just never saw it and came up and in on me and grabbed the finger.
All right, Teague. So is it an unfair home field advantage for the Dodgers since they can get used to it while visiting teams can't?
Yeah, of course it's an unfair home field advantage. And it's actually, it's a dangerous home field advantage. Why would you? I mean, he knows it, and maybe not as intimately as we are trying to intimate that he knows it, because he's only done it a couple times and it affected him because he got hit in the finger. But I mean, you don't want guys not being able to get out of the way of some high cheese because there's an image that's disruptive to the flight of the ball. I mean, that's just not smart. That's not safe. Of course, it's a great advantage for the Dodgers, and if they could get used to it and kind of not, if he hadn't talked about it, maybe it would have been a good advantage. But now that he's actually talked about it, if I'm an opposing player and I ever have to play out in Los Angeles, that's the first thing that I'm going to mention. I'm going to complain about it as loudly as I possibly can. But now that the cat is kind of out of the bag on this, they have to change it, don't they? I would think so.
All right, Teague, a very bizarre one to finish up here today. UFC's Platinum Mike Perry was caught on video knocking out an older man in a drunken bar incident and using the N-word.
What?
Does the UFC need to be more heavy-handed in dealing with these types of issues, or do they just expect fighters to lose their cool in public?
No, we've had this conversation a couple of times with the UFC, and mostly it was around like John Jones, who continually puts himself in harm's way and others in harm's way with his DUIs, failed tests, things like that. Even though that the DUIs haven't been a big deal lately, it's been the failed test. But perceptually, there's nobody in charge. It's lots of chaos going on inside of the UFC world. Conor McGregor had his issues where he was in that bar up in Ireland trying to give away his whiskey, proper number 12, trying to give it away. Just like, hey, take a shot of my whiskey. And, these old school Irish people are like, dude, get out of my face. I don't want that. And he ends up like knocking the dude out. No, he didn't knock him out. He punched him and the dude didn't even move. It tells you how tough these Irish men are. He didn't even like flinch. And I don't think there were criminal charges pressed, but there easily could have been. There needs to be a policy in place, like all the sports leagues have, that penalize athletes who do things that run severely and egregiously afoul of law. The UFC has not done this, and I think a lot of reasons that they don't is because they're just the promotion. That's what they say. They're the promotion. So they're just promoting guys fighting one another and then obviously paying them as well. But they're using this, this chaos as brand building, and it either creates a good guy or a bad guy, the heel, the hero or the heel or whatever, the baby face or the heel, as they used to say in WWF. I don't like it though, because it gives the whole a bad image. I don't think Dana White will ever change, because I think he likes that uncertainty. It brings attention. But when you're doing things like Mike Perry just did, which is reprehensible, then there has to be some sort of recourse. It can't just let it fly. Oh, it's just his personality. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
So, the National Football League was what we started with. A couple of things that, and we'll end with it today here as well. The J.J. Watt threatening to sit out because of the he might have to wear a mask. The other side of this is that they are potentially trying to get players to take a 35% escrow pay cut, which is not going to happen. I believe that the NFL will figure out a way to do this. But the last thing, that is get the season started on time. The last thing the NFL needs or wants after having a pretty, it was well received until the end, collective of bargaining conversations, until kind of got forced through, like all the work had been done. And then a lot of people started paying attention and they just forced it through because they needed to get it done ahead of the new television rights conversations, which are coming up in 2021. And so the NFL and the NFLPA, I believe, did the right thing. But it created a little bit of acrimony. The last thing that the National Football League needs right now is the same thing that has been plaguing baseball for the last 2.5 months. Fighting over money because of the pandemic is not going to go over well with fans, with sponsors, really with anyone. We know that it is what it is. The world is taking a financial hit. Stocks were down. I mean, obviously, they always come back because it's profit-taking and things of that nature. But people are out of work. People are worried about where their next paychecks are coming from. The NFL cannot allow this to devolve into what happened with Major League Baseball. Because if they do, they're going to lose all of the positive momentum that they've built over the last 4 or 5 months with the way the Super Bowl, really 6 months, if you go back to how the Super Bowl played itself out, Kansas City and Pat Mahomes and the positive news that he ultimately got on his contract and the growth feeling of the game, the stars that are entering the league, don't go down baseball's route. I know that it sucks to have to eat a little bit of this loss, but don't go baseball's route, NFL. We implore you. Mike Samter, Tom DeCelestino, thank you guys so much. Thank you all for listening. Have a fantastic day. Peace. See you tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.